The T-Biz podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that heals and energizes the body while soothes the mind. Transforming the leaf requires a fusion of artistry, craftsmanship, and commerce. The tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts a global influence, generating $260 billion in sales and employing millions to enhance the well-being of all.
Hello, everyone. This is Arvinda Anantharaman, South Asia editor for TeaBiz, filling in for Dan this week. Here are the headlines. A recent study has focused on the Shan people in Vietnam and the tea culture, revealing new insights into tea's origins. Using genetic markers, they sampled 60 teas and conclude that Shan represents perhaps one of the richest tea gene pools in the world. We're also looking at the Chinese tea brand Shaggy, which is going ahead with its US IPO listing. The Yunnan-based brand offers premium fresh brewed milk tea and oolong lattes, and has expanded its reach across China and Southeast Asia. And concerns about delisting notwithstanding, the IPO is expected to proceed as planned. And lastly, it's time for the Darjeeling First Flush. Despite facing so many challenges, this year's spring harvest from Darjeeling is well worth the attention. The weather has been favorable, and a few buyers have begun to make their way to the hills to shop for these teas. There is still uncertainty, garden closures, and friction with Nepal teas. Still, for loyalists of the Darjeeling, this is a year to give the teas all their love.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
Shan Tea's Genetic Treasure study uncovers Vietnam's indigenous tea diversity. Our reporter Rupa Goswami brings this story about Shan Tea. It's a new study that's drawing global attention to Shan Tea, a little known yet culturally revered tea from Vietnam. The study was published in Sens Malaysiana and uncovers the depth of indigenous tea traditions among the Shan people, suggesting that this region may represent an independent center of tea domestication, possibly rivaling China's Yunnan province. Shan tea, that's Camellia sinensis var Shan, is used to produce Che Shan Tuye, a prized Vietnamese tea made from wild or semi-wild tea trees that grew in high-altitude forests. Some of these trees are hundreds of years old, and ancient Shan tea trees have even been declared national heritage, cared for by local communities. Despite its well-recognized importance and widespread cultivation, research on Shan tea has been limited. And until now, there has been no assessment of the genetic diversity of this tea by using morphology or molecular markers. So this study is interesting because the researchers looked at 60 samples of Shan tea from three regions, and using SSR markers, which is like DNA fingerprinting for plants, found a high level of genetic diversity that positions Shan tea as one of the richest tea gene pools in the world. The authors write that this result further supports the fact that Vietnam is indeed the origin center of Shan tea. The study also examined the biochemical properties of this tea and found that these leaves were rich in catechins, especially EGCG, which is a potent antioxidant with several benefits to health. Interestingly, summer harvested teas had the highest catechin levels, likely due to increased sunlight exposure. And beyond genetics and chemistry, the researchers also found clear morphological differences tied to regional origins. And these patterns align with the genetic data and suggest a strong influence of local environment on tea characteristics, which could be key for branding, conservation, and future breeding of Shan tea. Shaggy announced Nasdaq IPO. One of China's most successful new style tea chains, Shaggy has chosen to list on the Nasdaq exchange. Rival chain's previous initial public offerings were listed in Hong Kong. And the U.S. market attracts a broader base of registered investors, and the capital pool is deeper than Hong Kong's. Expectations of interest rate declines in the U.S. have fueled optimism. Chuggy was founded in 2017 and currently operates 6,440 tea houses globally, with 97% in mainland China. Revenue last year was $1.7 billion, about triple that of the previous year. Chuggy, based in Yunnan, offers premium fresh brewed milk tea and oolong lattes. The company reported a 213% increase in new income and paperwork filed in the U.S. It opened its first U.S. location in Los Angeles. Successfully funding the IPO will lead to expansion in the U.S. and also Thailand, Singapore, and Malaysia. China requires companies seeking overseas IPOs to first obtain approval from securities regulators, who until recently have restrained the pace of tea company IPOs because of poor performance. Chuggy's IPO application was approved in March for either the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ. Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, CICC, and Deutsche Bank are the lead underwriters. There are now 515,000 new style tea shops in mainland China and approximately 100,000 in the rest of the world. Darjeeling's first flush is promising. Spring teas from Darjeeling have for long attracted its most loyal drinkers. Recent years have hit the region hard, with troubles compounding from climate change, estate closures, adulteration concerns, market loss, and non-commensurate prices. The problems notwithstanding, this year's first flush has produced some superlative teas. Vivek Lochan of Tea Swan and Doak Tea has been hosting buyers from Europe and Japan and is encouraged by the teas he's been tasting. And he adds that the market needs to be rebuilt and rebranded because there is some good work being done here that is missing out in all the noise about what is not okay. In recent times, the focus has turned to real estate as a means to generate revenue to compensate for tea prices. About a quarter of Darjeeling's 87 gardens are protected by the geographical indicator, remain closed this season, which also means volumes are lower than last year. And one more reason to seek out this season's finest Darjeeling.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and I founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
Our reporter Jessica Willard returned from the Northwest Tea Festival in Seattle last year with the incredible story of Charles and Lori Dawson. The couple have been married for 33 years and have an uncommon anniversary tradition to acquire a good aged pu'er cake each year on the anniversary. And over the years, the collection has grown into an enviable one. Jessica had the good fortune of breaking tea with them and brings us this heartwarming conversation with the couple, one that inspires new tea traditions.
On August 16, 1992, high school sweethearts Charles and Lori Dawson tied the knot. Over their 33 years of wedded bliss, they have amassed a collection of nearly 500 teas and become tea consultants. Lori is also co-owner and organizer of the Cascadia Tea Festival in Washington State. One subset of their tea collection is especially meaningful to them, an anniversary collection that they add to every year by purchasing a special anniversary tea cake. I'm Jessica Natale Woolard with the Tea Biz Podcast. I had the pleasure of meeting Charles and Lori last September at the Northwest Tea Festival in Seattle. The couple organized the tea bar and generously shared samples of their teas with the public. I got the chance to try one of the teas from their anniversary collection, a delicious, complex Shangpur from 1995. I was so charmed by the story of their anniversary tradition, I wanted to share it with you, our Tea Biz listeners. Without further ado, here are Lori and Charles Dawson from Washington State to tell us about their anniversary tea traditions. I checked the list of traditional and modern wedding anniversary gifts, and tea, sadly, isn't on it. How did tea become the Dawson family anniversary tradition?
Go for it. My, okay, well, we've been doing tea seriously for at least 20 years. And about 3 or 4 years into it, we were getting into pour. And we decided, hey, we really want a nice tea for our anniversary. Let's make a special trip across the border to Richmond, BC, to our favorite tea shop and get something. And it turned out we were drinking a bunch of really good, expensive pours that year. And we bought the best one we could afford at that time. And it was so fun, we decided to make it an annual, yearly tradition where we'd intentionally make a special trip every year on our anniversary to buy a good, special, aged cake of tea as old as we could afford each year. And now we've accumulated, well over a dozen, almost, I guess, 2 dozen cakes that are quite nice. And
a couple of years we bought 2.
Yeah, a couple. Yeah, we have plenty of anniversary cakes and we take them out whenever we have a good excuse to do so.
Lovely. And is it always a pu'er tea or do you branch out?
Usually it's a pu'er tea because pu'er teas, especially the raw ones, they age well. So it's kind of fun to watch them age as our marriage ages.
Which isn't to say that when we're going up for our anniversary teas or shopping special, we'll see something else special and also pick it up. Mm-hmm. We won't necessarily call it our anniversary tea, but now we have some very good aged white teas or Slu Bao, or we pick up something else really special just for our anniversary. But the ones we call our anniversary teas, they're the pu'ers.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. So take us through tea time on your anniversary. Can you paint a picture for our listeners?
Well, it's kind of tough because we kind of spread out our anniversary celebration over at least a week or so. Because we have so many pu'er cakes from our anniversaries, we don't want to just take out one. We'd want to take out and sample several during the week. And we want to share them with people. So whenever it works out to get to bring our friends and family over, and we'll bring out a special anniversary cake, mm-hmm. and we'll taste it. And we may not have tasted that particular cake in 4 or 5 years. It's like, oh, I forgot what this one tasted like. And we share it with our friends. Or since there's a few tea festivals that are in approximately the same time of year, mm-hmm. we take an anniversary cake to share at a tea festival. And it gives us a good excuse not only to drink it again, because mm-hmm. we love that, but to share that experience with other people. And it makes it more special for us.
How has this tradition of tea for your anniversary and shared with others on special occasions strengthened your relationship?
No matter what, you can sit down with anybody and have a cup of tea and bond. No matter who you are, how many differences you have, you can always sit down and share that cup of tea. That was shared with us when we first started tea shopping. And I think it's been definitely true for us. Whenever we have a hard day, whenever, you know, something in life happens like COVID or something like that, we can always sit down and just have a cup of tea and let the world just go by.
We always use tea to reconnect or connect more deeply and to share experience with our daughter, who's also a big tea drinker for the last 20 plus years. I think that we were talking yesterday because, you know, we had a rough day at work, both of us, and we were noting how well we bonded together, how we were able to communicate about our day and actually get to the root of our feelings. And I think your comment was that tea is like a truth serum. It makes us be able to speak our innermost feelings and connect on a more deep level. It's not even necessarily just the ceremony or the tea, but it's the overall experience. Certainly, I think good tea, it does have a way of actually, you know, loosening the tongue and your heart a little bit. But
and just while having that tea, you're just taking the time to be.
Mm-hmm.
So after a hard day like yesterday, do you sit down with a cup of tea? Do you choose a tea together, whether it's from your anniversary collection or your whole collection, which has nearly 500 teas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually come in and go, it's the good stuff tonight.
So yeah. The most often asked question in our house is, what tea shall we drink? We have so many. The hardest part is deciding which one. And so the first part of the occasion is, what tea are we going to choose? What category of tea are we going to use? And we pick a tea, we sit down, we decide, and then we just start drinking for half an hour, an hour.
Yeah. And the days we can't decide, we do have a dice that we put all the different teas on in case we can't decide. And then we also have one side that says you have to choose because, yes. So there we go.
That is amazing. Where did that idea come from?
From us not being able to always make up our mind.
We are indecisive sometimes.
Well, or we just like, oh, that sounds good and that sounds good. Ah, so we roll a dice.
So when you have your special teas on a special day, do you use special teaware? Do you have a teapot that comes out for special occasions? What does your table look like?
We have a gongfucha set that's on our dining room table. It's been there now for over 20 years because we sit down at it every day, four or five times a day sometimes. But when it comes to drinking a special tea, we'll put aside the gaiwan, which is our go-to for just about any tea. And we might pick out one of our special Yixing pots or one of the other pots that we've picked up. For instance, right now, we're drinking one of our anniversary teas and we're using a pot we picked up from Glen of Crimson Lotus last year. And it's such a really nice pot. It works great for brewers. So we're playing with it some more.
We had Glen on the podcast a few months ago, in fact. You mentioned the tea that you're drinking tonight, one that you hadn't tasted in about 5 years. Are there any other teas that stand out to you from your collection and what makes them memorable?
Well, one for me is for our 30th anniversary.
It was an Yiwu special cake, a Zhongcha from Yiwu, and amazingly well aged, been well stored.
Yeah. What makes this one stand out to me was we took it to the Portland Tea Festival and we tried it with everybody. And it was an amazing experience to be able to sit down and go, we want to share something special of ours with you. We kind of pulled the punches on that, though. Like, we'd let them taste it and then go, by the way, that's a 30-year-old pua. And everyone seemed to really enjoy it. And so just being able to share that experience was...
That was extra special because the Portland Tea Festival allowed us to have a space just of our own specifically for this all day, just to let people come and sit down on us randomly the whole day long. And just they supported us so well in doing that and making this an special experience for us. And we even managed to grab a really nice 20-year-old cake and imported it especially from Hong Kong for this event, broke it all up and gave samples of it to everyone who sat down with us until we were out. It was a special sharing.
Tea is meant to be shared. So, yeah.
That's so beautiful. And all of these people, you're giving such an experience, but hearing a personal connection with these teas, which is how I met you, which is why we're on this call today, because it was just so, so meaningful to have you share a tea that, you know, was purchased for your anniversary and to have it shared with people at a tea festival is really generous and very, very kind of you. And you invite us into your happy home. So thank you.
I mean, I love the fact that we have this anniversary tea tradition, and I'm seeing it reflected in a lot of friends we've made in the tea community since then. I've seen people start to do anniversary cakes as well, following our tradition. But also I've seen people starting families that are intentionally buying a cake on the year of their child's birth, when they're born, and giving it to them, storing it for them, or even as they're growing up, even in toddler years and beyond, taking it out on their birthdays. And they're making that a family tradition, very similar to ours, where it's a core of their family experience. And I just, I love that about tea.
Yeah. In fact, we've started buying some teas for our friends as well for their birthdays when it's a milestone birthday or whatnot. We try and find a cake of their birth year.
And so can you make one final comment on how this tradition helps your relationship stay strong and forge connections with others?
Well, okay, we met in high school. We are longtime sweethearts, I guess you say, and pure blood romantics, diehard purists. So I guess we have a lot of romantic traditions because our relationship is so important to us. But when it comes to our anniversary, this is one of our core ways to celebrate. It is something that has brought us closer together since we started doing tea seriously. And it's hard to imagine our relationship without it. So it is a part of our relationship.
Yeah. My very first tea tray has two symbols on it, Teafinity. And it means no matter what, we'll always sit down, we'll always have a cup of tea.
Isn't that beautiful? We'll always have a cup of tea. Thanks to Charles and Lori for inviting us to the table in their happy home to learn about their anniversary tea traditions. Do you have a tea tradition you'd like to tell us about? We'd love to hear how you've incorporated tea into special moments in your life. Send us a note at tea-biz.com/contact. Perhaps you'll hear about your tradition on an upcoming podcast. Thanks for listening to the Tea Biz Podcast.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of Tea Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.